Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2, the book of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to talk about the birth of Jesus tonight. And to set it up, because the birth of Jesus, if you're familiar with the story, then there's a lot of the details that you'll be familiar with, right? A lot of you have heard this story a lot, but there's some details, I think, that you might not be looking at. For instance, does anybody know the distance between Judea and Bethlehem, the distance traveled from the home city to the registration city for the tax? Does anybody know the distance? Does anybody? Yeah, see, that's a detail we're going to talk about. There you go. All right, you're going to learn something tonight. It's good to hear. Good to hear. The reason why I ask is because we're going to read history tonight. So that what we're about to read doesn't start with once upon a time. It doesn't start that way. Okay, well, thank you. Good. Man, we have a crowd of hecklers coming our way. So listen, for those of you that have been watching us, man, they're everywhere. You better watch out. Yeah. No, see what happens? See what happens? Somebody should not have fed chocolate to this section. No, I've got a couple of fiction options that I'm going to ask you if you know the name of the books. Okay, ready? All right, now, students cannot answer because you probably have the answers. But if I was to give you a fictional work, the beginning of a fictional work, so like, for instance, this one, they call me Ishmael, or call me Ishmael. Do you know the book? Okay, who answered? Okay, you're not a student. All right, good job. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I've got a couple more. One of these, there is no way anybody's going to. If somebody gets this, I honestly cannot wait to shake your hand. I cannot wait. But here's another one. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Yeah. A Tale of Two Cities. That's good. But I love the power that you can. Same power. Yeah, same author. Now, let's see if anybody gets this one. Okay, this is the first line of a work of fiction. It was a bright, cold day in April. Okay, I didn't think anybody was going to get it. George Orwell, 1984. Oh, yeah. Now, had somebody got that, let's be honest, guys, that would have been pretty impressive, don't you think? Look, I could continue to go on. I could say, hey, in a galaxy far, far away. I mean, I could go on and give you all of these introductions of fiction. These are works of fiction. These are literary works. This is what we're going to read tonight. Is history. It's not fiction. We don't come together and say, hey, let's read a really fun story that everybody wants to hear about, and it's really nostalgic. It's not what we're reading. We're not reading the best story that's ever been told. We're reading the most powerful, important points of history. And so if you're into the scriptures, if you're into the things of God, we are growing in an age where less and less folks are into it. If you watch and are studying what's happening in culture, you'll know that the fastest growing group of people is who? It's not agnostics, it's not atheists, it's not Muslims, it's not Christians. In the United States, it is what we call the nuns, not N-U-N, women that don't get married and you know, live together. It is the N-O-N-E, the nuns. What does that mean? It means there's nothing. They're nothing. Well, hey, were you raised Presbyterian? No, nothing. Well, you must be angry at God because of your dad or something like that. No, I just haven't even thought about him. The fastest growing group of people is the nuns. Now, why do we talk about that? Why do I even start there? Because the nuns think that what we're about to read tonight is just a really great nostalgic story that makes you feel good. You kind of have to read it before grandma gives you a check, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe that's just in my house. Grandma's here, and she's pointing at me. So, yes. Glad you're here, Grandma. Yeah, no, or we think, hey, you know, back in the day when we would do this, it was a sweet story, it was great. What we're about to read is history. It's set in history, and it's about the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, was this the beginning of Jesus? No, the church has never believed that. No, this is God the Father sending God the Son in the form of a baby. Now, to get us set up for this moment, Mary is with child, and they are going to travel because of the tax census. They're going to travel 90 miles south and then to the west, down the south of the flats near the Jordan, coming from Judea all the way down to Bethlehem. And that is a very long period of time. How long do you think it would have taken Joseph and Mary, who is with child, to make this 90-mile journey? Anybody know? Yeah, about 4 days, but you said three. You said about, that's right. Listen. Hey, listen, you know what? Come on. I'm in. I love this. So good. And I'm, of course, you're right here. It's so great. And so hear me. This is important. I don't want to drive in my car with air conditioning with my super pregnant wife for 30 minutes, lest take a 90-mile journey with a pregnant wife while either walking in front of or riding on top of a donkey. Anybody who has ever given birth, can I get an amen? Thank you for participating tonight. Yeah, so the reason why I like to share this is because it shows how scary sometimes birth can be. In fact, my wife and I, we have four children, and each one of our kids, we had a different experience. None more terrifying than the birth of our daughter. Nothing more terrifying. In fact, just for a moment before we get into history, can I tell you about the story? Thank you. And so here we were, the birth of our third born, January 3rd of 2013. It was an amazing day. I was very close to the house, only 40 miles away. It's not a long ways. And you know, this is our third born, so we were expecting, like, hey, we know how this works. We know kind of what's going on. And Kristen said, hey, you're going to go and meet with some folks. Great. Keep your phone on you. And I said, hey, I've got my phone. And I'm notorious for leaving my phone in places that I shouldn't. But I had my phone on me. And I put the phone right next to my arm. And man, I was waiting. I was just waiting for the phone to ring because I knew I had plenty of time. And I was 40 miles to the west, and we were giving birth just another 20 miles to the east of where we lived. And so in total, I could make that in an hour easy. I was in great shape. Notice how Mary and Joseph had 90 miles. And so I'm sitting there meeting with these folks, and I kept thinking, man, she hasn't called me. She hadn't checked in. No big deal. Between one of my meetings, I just happened to touch my phone to pick it up. And as I did, it started to, you know how when your phone doesn't have service and you just move it ever so slightly and all of a sudden all the calls, all the texts start flooding in? Has it ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you with a wife who's 9 months pregnant and wants to kill you? Should I continue? And so as I moved the phone, I looked at the phone and all of a sudden all these texts started rolling through. Hey, hun, how are you? Starting to feel like it's time. Next text. Hey, hun, next text. Hey, hun, next text. What are you doing? Next text. Hey, this is serious. Next text. Leave now. Next text. We're leaving now. And it just gets, we'll just say, worse from there. So by the time I get it, I've missed 15 or so phone calls, 40 or so texts. The last text that I got on my phone, and I am roughly 60 miles away, was paraphrased, I am about to give birth to your child. give or take a few words and descriptives, that's generally what the text said. Now, what do you think I did? Friends, I have never taken 121 like I did that day. You've never seen a man drive an F-150 like it was driven that day. And I mean, I took out of the office, I was driving down streets I didn't know existed. And I remember pulling up to the front of the hospital. True story, I remember pulling up straight to the front of the kiosk of the hospital. And I remember just leaving my door open. I'm a Texan, so I've got things in my glove box. And I remember just leaving the door open, running into the hospital. And you kind of get this idea, like all the front desk ladies at a maternity wing, and you see a father in a suit at a full sprint, you kind of like, Oh, you're that guy. Yeah, welcome, welcome. And I just remember getting to the elevator and then getting to the third floor, I think the third floor, and I remember the elevator doors opening. And I remember running as fast as I could, and Chariots of Fire was playing in my ear. And all of a sudden, I see my father at the end of the hallway in slow motion, just doing this right here, like I'm rounding third. Go, go! And I, at a total sprint, just am running as fast as I can, slide into the room, and without exaggeration, our daughter was born. She says 2 minutes later. If I'm telling the story, 7 seconds later. And it was one of those moments where if you are waiting for life to enter the world, you think you can be prepared, you look to be prepared, you try to get everything together, and this is what Joseph is doing in this moment. Why would he send his wife with him for this treacherous journey? Why would he do that? Well, I'll tell you why he does that, because he knows she's going to give birth. Joseph and Mary, like, if you remember the story, Joseph and Mary, he knows that she's going to give birth. He, at this moment, knows that this is Messiah. He knows that they have never been together, read between the lines. He knows that this is a miraculous moment and that the Caesar Augustus is demanding that they go and give a tax statement, like basically to say, hey, we're here, this is who we are, it's a census for taxes. And so he says, Mary, I can't leave you here. You got to come with me. And it's 90 miles. And so one of these days, you know, you hear all these beautiful songs written, Mary, Did You Know? I know that not everybody likes that song, but there's all these different vantage point songs. One of these days, some wife, some mother, some woman needs to write a song, Joseph, did you know about the 90 miles I traveled with God in my belly? Like, would that not be an amazing song? Turn with me to actual history, friends, in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as we set up our reading of God's word. Again, notice it doesn't say once upon a time in a land far, far away. It doesn't say that in Luke chapter 2. It says, in those days, history. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. Verse 4, and Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And when she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, she laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Before we get to verse 8, why was there no place? Well, Bethlehem was a really popular city. It was a really well-known city. It was a city where people would want to go. If you had to go and be registered, and if you had to go to a place that was fun to be registered, it would be like you being a native New Yorker, and you have to go back to register in New York. And it's like, hey, New York's fun. Let's just take the family with us. That's what you did in Bethlehem. Everybody came back because you wanted to kind of hang out in Bethlehem. And so this place has just swelled beyond its capacity. And so there was no place. And so Joseph and Mary here in verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. So the idea here is not that they were afraid of the angels, though we don't have any indication that when angels are put forth, that they're not absolutely terrifying creatures. In fact, every instance of an angel revealing himself to people, everybody in this moment either faints, pretends to be dead, or is trembling with fear. This is no different. And when the angel in verse 10 said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, and it will be for all people. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying," now this is verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is well pleased." Verse 15, "And the angel went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another." Remember, these are guys just on the side of the hill with their sheep or with their animals. "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Notice they don't even really know what they're talking about. "Hey, let's go find out what's going on, because clearly something is going on. Let us go and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Verse 16, "So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph. And when they saw it, they made known, saying that they had been told them concerning this child." Verse 18, "And all who had heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." Verse 19, "And Mary treasured all these things up and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to him." Verse 21, "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. That was the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Now, for those of you that understand the story, you'll know that in the Christian tradition, as revealed in the scriptures, that Joseph and Mary were betrothed to one another. They were about to be married. They were engaged. And so typically in that day, they would be engaged. They would live with one another in a parent's house under parent supervision. And so when Mary was found out to be pregnant, and Joseph knew that he had not been with her, read between the lines, then it's pretty clear at that moment that there's a pretty awkward conversation that needs to be had. Don't you think? And I think it's probably most awkward for Mary. "I actually have no idea what to tell you. I've never been with somebody, and I'm now pregnant. I recognize that I don't appear to be rational." And that was literally in the story. Now why does Joseph in this moment believe her? Well, if we back up in this story, or if we read the account in Matthew chapter 2, what you'll see is this, that an angel appears to Joseph, like an angel appeared to Mary. And an angel appeared to Joseph and said, hey, don't put her away. No, I am sending a son through Mary. His name will be Jesus. And immediately in this moment, Joseph believed in faith that this is the coming Messiah. And listen, what do you say to Mary if you're an angel? "Mary, you're going to be pregnant. Yes, you've never been with anybody. Yes, that's right. You will be conceived by the Father, and you will bore a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Now, I know what you think. You think, this is crazy. No, it gets better. In fact, if you continue to read the story, wicked men and women who make terrible decisions and have no reason to have unity with God, Jesus dies for them so that they can have peace with God. The story gets even crazier. Like, the worst of the worst, the most messed up, can actually find peace with God because of the death of this son, Jesus Christ. So if you have a hard time here, we talk about this a lot. For those of us that kind of hang out around the scriptures and commune with one another here at Lighthouse, we talk about this a lot. If you got trouble with this story, just hang out a little bit longer. There's so many more stories to have trouble with. The Bible is just filled with stories, and it's like, how is that possible? How is it possible that God creates the world the way that he does? How is it possible that he creates Adam and Eve the way that he does? How is it possible that he sends Jesus to die on the cross and ascends to life? How is it possible that a virgin conceives and then has a son, births a son? How is all of this possible? Now I got one more for you. The church actually believes and has great basis for doing so because of the scriptures that Jesus is coming again for his church. That's what we wait for. In fact, we were just praying that before the service. Hey, you didn't return, so we've got one more Christmas Eve service. But maybe you return tomorrow. Maybe you return the next day for your church. Maybe you return before Easter that we'll celebrate in April. This history is glorious history. Now, for some of us, we have to ask the question, why is this glorious history? It's glorious history because so many of us are looking for peace on earth. Maybe we've already sung it, or maybe we will sing it. A weary world rejoices. A weary world rejoices. That's why we walk through the Advent season. We talk about faith. We talked about joy. We talked about hope. We talked about love. We talked about peace. A weary world longs for those things. And this story is God's answer for that problem. Now, I know what you're going to say. You say, no, I got problems that story is not going to fix. And I would love to say, oh, man, great push. Okay, got it. This story doesn't fix your problems. Got it. I love that. Hey, Alex, I got this problem. And your story of God sending Jesus into the world doesn't fix my problem. Good push. Now, I'm going to push right back. I actually believe that it does. I actually do believe that God sending his son into our experience. The theologians call that condescension, that God condescends himself. He makes it easier for us to understand. God condescends through Jesus for us so that he can give us a bunch of rules? No. So that he can be a bridge to all that is broken in our lives. Now, it's really interesting. So many of us want God to change the rules. In fact, I use this illustration so often because it's such a helpful illustration, but my family and I, we lived on the corner when we lived in Greenville, Texas. We lived on a very, very busy corner. And this corner did not allow us to be able to let the kids just play around the fence. The fence meant something significant on this corner. And so are you familiar with the idea? It's one thing, it's like the kids are great in the corner, and they're great inside of the fence playing. But outside of that, it's just freeways and cars taking blind turns very, very quickly. And at the time, we had a bunch of little kids. I think we had three at the time, maybe only two at the time. And I would always say to the boys, hey, you can do anything you want. Have maximum fun inside the fence. It's amazing inside the fence. And they'd be like, that's amazing. And what would happen? I'd look out the window. And what would they be doing? They'd be standing on the fence. I'd run out of the house, get off the fence. Ah, Dad, you just want to mess with our joy. You just want to mess with our fun. And I would say, no, I know more than you. What's outside of the fence? It's not that fun. You might see a blowing in the wind bag filled with air, tumbling, that looks amazing to go and grab right in the middle of a 4-lane freeway. And as a child, you might be thinking, that bag looks amazing. I should run out there and grab it. There's nothing in the bag. The bag isn't amazing. When we talk about God the Father, and we talk about his rules, and we talk about his story, and we talk about him sending Jesus to the earth, the most beautiful part of all of this is that God is good. He sends his son, and all that he writes as rules for faithful living are amazing. Maximum fun inside of the fence. That's what it is. It's maximum fun inside of the fence. And tonight is Christmas Eve. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, one of the two most critical moments in the Christian calendar. God sending his son Jesus through the birth of Jesus, and Jesus Christ dying upon the cross for the sin of the world. Christmas, Easter, first Advent, a moment of salvation, and the church waits for the second Advent, the return of Jesus Christ. A singular moment in history, which is the cross, and two Advents on either side of it. And so, friend, maybe you do not know the stories of God's people. That is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm here to tell you that this story is an unbelievable anchor for you. Not just for the church, not just for religious people, not just for people that make good decisions. It is for you. What are you going to do with it? You have to do something with the fact that God sent his son to the earth for sin. What are you going to do with it? I'm asking, what are you going to do with it? And maybe what you'll say is, we're going to light our candle. We're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to take an amazing picture. And I'm not going to think about it again until Easter, but maybe not Easter, maybe just Christmas Eve next year. And that, man, I understand. Some of you have been doing that with what I've said for years. And all I'm asking is this, that you consider it differently this year. That you would say, what do I need to do with the fact that God sent his son Jesus to be born of a Virgin Mary? Well, here's my encouragement to you. Read the story in the book of Matthew. If you've got a Bible, read the story in the book of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, then grab Jeff's Bible. He'd love to give it to you. Jeff, hold your Bible up. Do you have your Bible? Oh, man. Well, we'll find somebody with an actual Bible. I assume Jeff cared. All right. Yeah, no. He cares. No, hear me. No, if you're not going to do anything other than this, then at least do this. We read from the book of Luke. Find in your Bible the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and read Matthew chapter 2. Read the other account of the birth of Jesus, and then ask God this question. What do you have for me here? What do you have for me here? And maybe the church, maybe the things of God are absolutely precious to you, and this is a meaningful moment in your Christian calendar, and maybe this is your covenant people, and you might say, hey, I do that a lot. It's like, praise God, let's do it again, because some stories are worth reading and rereading and remembering and re-remembering and sharing and resharing, and this be one of them. Daniel, if you guys would come up. In the book of John, the Bible says this. The Bible says in verse 9 that Jesus is light invading the darkness. Now, you don't have to turn there with me, but I'm just going to read John chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. It's a Christmas passage, very similar to what we've just read. Verse 10, and he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, but they didn't receive him. Verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, it's really important. If you wait for a really beautiful picture with your children and candles for the gram, amazing, love it, can't wait to see your feed. But if that's all you get, if that's all you get out of this, and you forget that God the Father sent his son, who is light in darkness. If you forget that, it's not worth it. And so if the elders would come up, we're going to sing one last song. And as we sing this last song, let us remember that this is such a day to celebrate. What is it that we celebrate? We celebrate Jesus Christ being sent to the earth. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we sing, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we consider, Father, as we enjoy this anchor in the Christian calendar, We ask, Father, that you would, by your Spirit's power, move in our hearts. Who can know the heart of man, woman, children? Who can know the heart? Deceitful, the Bible says, but you see perfectly. Holy Spirit, come. We pray that you would move in power in the hearts of men and women. Would you save? Would you set free? Would you bring peace? A weary world rejoices the sending of the Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.